If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Love God, but I'm not living for God. God's saying that's a lie. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we're walking the best that we can, living for God, he's constantly cleansing us and making us to have fellowship, not only with God, but fellowship with one another. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're not talking about sinners here. We're talking about people who are in the church, saints. This is a letter written to churches. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So the simple formula is walk in the light, confess our faults, examine ourselves. Otherwise, what happens is we start to feel condemnation and God doesn't love me, people don't like me anymore, and I just can't live for God. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. Touch it, anoint it. God, put something in us that causes us to have a deeper walk with you in this year. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I got a letter today from the Tupelo Children's Mansion. It is a orphanage for children that is through the United Pentecostal Church. And from time to time, they send letters asking for donations because these are children who are displaced out of their home for whatever reason, and they're put in a orphanage, but it's not like any other orphanage. This is all about truth. And I want to read it. It's not a long letter. Dear Brother Schumacher, just a few minutes before writing this letter, I approved 5 more girls to come to live at the mansion, even though we are nearly full capacity. How can I say no? I was moved with emotion and wept as I read the heartbreaking stories and saw the photos of these children. The mansion's residential number continues to grow. We will soon have 60-plus children in our care. Calls are received almost daily regarding the placement of even more children in need. A dozen applications are awaiting a reply. The placement of these children hinges upon the funds that we receive over the next few days and weeks. This is why this year-end appeal is so urgent. A new girl recently arrived on our campus and introduced herself by saying, "Hello, my name is Larissa, and I am hard to love." Evidently, she had been told that repeatedly before coming to the mansion, and she really believed it. She frequently asks her house mother if she can stay at Tupelo Children's Mansion, even though she knows that she is hard to love. Her house mother responds by assuring her that she was not hard to love, but rather easy, very easy to love. She told this precious girl that not only do we love her, but God loves her too. That she is actually one of the most loving children we have, and her heart is very tender towards God. How can we not provide a refuge for this precious little one? And we'll be sending an offering in order to help support the Children's Mansion. We've been doing that for years. But when people have been told that they're hard to love, that they're not good enough for other people to love or even God, It's hard sometimes to overcome that. When we are walking in the light of God's truth and presence, it's easy to have fellowship with one another. It's easy to know that God loves you. And we don't feel any form of condemnation from the preaching or of holiness. Walking in the light doesn't mean living a perfect life. And there's a misconception that we have to be perfect for God to love us, and having no need for cleansing on a regular basis. But walking in the light means living a blameless life the best we possibly can as a result of constantly examining ourselves and confessing our shortcomings to God. Humbling ourselves, God, if you see something in me, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to do it better, you know. It's when the child comes and he knows he or she is guilty, and now you make excuses because, well, that's just the way I am, and everybody else is doing it. Well, God doesn't accept that from children, nor does he accept that from adults. When we use the word perfect today, we are speaking of something being perfect, but when the Bible uses the word perfect, it is referring to completeness. We will never reach total perfection in this life because we're living in this flesh, but that doesn't give us a license to sin. In fact, it should push us towards a more serious consecration towards God, because I want to complete my walk with God. I want to get closer to you, and that's what happens generally at the first of the year. We make commitments, and most of us fail on the commitments, and then all of a sudden we feel condemnation because we didn't do what we said, but the flesh gets in the way, and then once we have a failure, we get to that place where, well, what's the use? Over the years, I've had many people come to me feeling unworthy to serve God, even after being saved for a number of years, feeling condemnation because of shortcomings or failures, and I've had many of them say, Pastor, could I be baptized again? Because what they're saying is, I know when I went into the water, God not only washed away my sins, he forgot all of my sins, and now I've got some flaws in my character. I've done some things, and I want to be baptized again in order to get completely clean and a fresh start. And of course, I refer them to the scripture that I just read. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God does the cleansing even after we've been baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So there's no need to be baptized again. When we were baptized in Jesus' name, we were cleansed from head to toe, and all of the years of filth and pollution was washed away. God forgives. In fact, the Bible says not only does he forgive, but he forgets our sins. That's why we become new creatures in Christ. That's why he doesn't remember. We are born again. Brand new life starting at the water. We were sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Some need to hear this message once a week. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9, it says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he's talking to the church here, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We don't have a right to be in church. We're all guilty of something. And God said, okay, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to wash you up. I got to clean you up, you know. And let's look at a few scriptures that confirm this. You need to mark these scriptures down so the next time the accuser of the brethren comes around. That you can say, like Jesus said, it is written. Amen. Turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. It says, come now and let us reason. And the word reason means to be right together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool or white. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And verse 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Whenever there is preaching, there is a cleansing of us. You know, we're baptized in Jesus' name. We have our sins washed away. But I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I like to take a shower. You know, well, listen, and 1977, I was baptized in Jesus' name, but, you know, that wasn't enough. You have to keep cleansing. And there's a cleansing by the washing of the word. And then Titus, the 3rd chapter. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness. So you can't get clean by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So as we come to church and we're renewed and washed and refreshed, amen, you see, we just feel better about our walk with God. Amen. So we all are cleansed, but there are just a few problems. We still live in this world. We still have to walk along some dirty roads. That's why there was always, when you went into a home, in Bible days, there was always water there to wash your feet. There's no way to avoid all of the dirt from time to time that we walk through and are exposed to, rooms filled with smoke and cursing and profanity on the job site, lewd dress that people wear, off-color jokes, all of these things that we are exposed to on a regular basis. We cannot isolate ourselves from the rest of the world, and because we're exposed to all of that, somehow within us we're feeling condemnation because we've been rubbing elbows with those who have no regard for God at all. So we feel dirty, but that doesn't mean that we need another bath. In Romans 8 and 1, it says, there's no more condemnation to them that walk in the Spirit but to them that walk in the flesh. Our humanity causes us to temporarily fall short, speak a word in anger from time, or lose our temper, or a fleeting lustful glance, envious of somebody else that's around. All of those things we know are wrong, and all of a sudden it happens to us, and now we're feeling like, oh God, you'll never ever love me again. Because our feet are dirty. Amen. I know what you're saying. We're coming up on foot washing. And you know, there are a lot of churches that have abandoned foot washing because it's very uncomfortable. You know, it's got nothing to do with our feet. It's got everything to do with cleansing our heart and our attitude, you see. It's one of the most spiritual things that we do in this place, because it's putting down the flesh. If you look at John, the 13th chapter, starting in verse number 6, it says, "Then cometh he," this is Jesus, "to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." In other words, if you won't submit to this humbling, Here's a God that robed himself in flesh. He put on a towel, a garment of a servant, and now he bends down and he washes the feet of his creation, and even the feet of Judas, who he already knows is going to betray him just in a little while. Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save or except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily." You know, whenever God says verily, verily, or truly, truly, he's saying, listen up now. Here's a point I want you to really understand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. I want to be happy this year. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there's a constant cleansing from the filth of this world by the washing of the word, self-examination. We know that we are walking in the light when we are quick to repent and careful to guard against sin. That's what God is saying. Just don't make provision for it. Be careful, and if something happens, you know what? Amen. Repent. I'm sorry, God. Amen. Best thing to do. Right. We know that we live in a completeness to the point that sin grieves us. When we get to the point where we know we're right with God, when there's sin around us, it bothers us. You know? We come out of a life that is full of profanity and all kinds of filth. But when we come into the church, the first time somebody uses Jesus' name in vain, it's like somebody stabbed you, because now you're different than you were before, and is merely, you know, dust and dirt on our feet while our whole body has been cleansed. So we need to take care of those things as soon as we can. This is a contrast to those who despise the grace of God and just, well, it's not important. You know, God understands, God knows, you know, it's not a big deal. Everybody else is. No. Turn to 2 Peter. We're using quite a bit of scripture tonight. 2 Peter, the second chapter. And verse 22, starting in verse 21. It says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them." God's saying, you know what? The sinner is better off than somebody who has been cleansed and has the knowledge of God and then walks away from it. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." What a picture. But that's what God is saying. When people say, you know what? It's not important anymore. I'll tell you what, I have sleepless nights thinking about people who used to minister and used to be so sold out to God that one day just walk away. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So the first time, God cleanses us. But then we have an obligation to cleanse ourselves through repentance, confession, if you will. Much of religion has the misnomer that God just tolerates living anyway as long as you come to church every once in a while. And that's not true, you see. God has called us to repentance, not only those who are sinners, but those who are saints. He's calling us to repentance. He's calling us to a self-examination. And when the word of God goes forth, it sets up an occasion for us to self-examine and change things. And if you're not under the preaching of the word of God, there are some times where you really don't know that you're not in that light that you're supposed to be. Psalms chapter 15. Verse number 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." So who's going to abide in the tabernacle or that place of God? And then 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Starting in verse number 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless." We had communion on Monday night. And of course, before we take communion, we search ourselves because we want to take it worthily. You know, many of God's promises are only given to those who are blameless. Psalms 84 and 11 says, "No good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly." I want everything you got, God. I want all of the good stuff, you know. But there's a prerequisite. Psalms 119 and 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed or happy and blessed. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and 1. You need to mark some of these things in your Bible, folks, because the enemy comes knocking, tell you, you know what? You're hard to love. I don't think the pastor likes you. I don't think there's people in the church that like you. And certainly God doesn't like you. And what you need to know is where those scriptures are, because you're going to have those accusations hurled at you on a regular basis. And even your conscience sometimes condemns you. Verse number one, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son or flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the greatest enemy, the warring that we have, is with this flesh, not the devil, not the world. But this flesh always wants to do that which is not right. But we have to walk in the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That righteousness is not a big deal in the church anymore. No, no. If you don't have righteousness, you don't have life, according to these scriptures. Saints shouldn't be wandering from week to week if we're still saved. God doesn't retry us every week based on our performance, you know? And that's what the enemy of our soul does. He keeps bringing accusations and trials against us. We've been washed in the blood and sanctified. As long as we keep walking in the Spirit, we can't mind the things of the flesh, or we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. As we think, as we look, as we open the door to those things, well, eventually what happens is we fulfill them. Being blameless isn't being without fault, just doing our best to walk in the Spirit, you see. James 1 and 27 says, pure religion and undefiled or unsoiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's what pure religion is. Amen. You can't just gracefully sin, you know, and then come in to church and say, okay, God, it's just me. Turn to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Ephesians 2, chapter 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's us. wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, right? According to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I remember I worked in a bank building, and when I got saved, I went around selectively talking to people about the things of God, and you know, declared I'm a Holy Ghost filled Christian. And I remember about 6 months later, one of these guys came up to me and started telling me this very off-color joke. And I said, wait a minute. You know, my head is not a garbage can you can just throw that filth into. Oh, are you still into that? You know? Because from time to time, we're going to be tested, you know, by other people who are around us to see, are you still in that commitment to God? Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. We were sitting in heavenly places this weekend, folks. The misconception that we can sometimes have is that to be around sinners all week may give us an unclean feeling. You know, like I'm guilty because I was there, because I heard this, I saw this, and it makes us feel bad, and therefore sometimes we feel condemnation because we're in that kind of atmosphere. But if we didn't join with them in their sin, we are not unclean like they are. It's your feet that are dirty, not your body. And what we need is a cleansing, a confession, a humbling, bringing us down to that place where we initially got saved. Foot washing is only effective for those who do not return to the mud. You know? Let's have foot washing every week because no. See, the thing is, let's get clean and stay clean. Song of Solomon 5:3 says, I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? Foot washing doesn't have anything to do with feet. It's got everything to do with heart. It's got everything to do with attitude. And we feel so much better because we made it right with God again. And I know there could be the Peters that say, no, not me. I'm not going to be a part of that. And Jesus is saying, well, then you won't have a part of me. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, we all were once soiled sinners and now are sanctified saints. Amen. And it didn't take three miracles to get into sainthood. You know? Well, I guess it did. Repentance, baptism, and infilling of the Holy Ghost. We are condemned and carnal, but now we are consecrated and clean. I'm clean. Now I stand in the house of God. Our standard is not the same as this world, and don't confuse the two. You know what? What they think is all right isn't what God thinks is all right. We are high priests that need to keep our garments clean. We're not ordinary citizens. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And there's a higher level of consecration that we have than the rest of the world and even the rest of religion. Because God has sanctified us and he has made us his temple. Know ye not that ye are the temples of God? You know, we can't defile the temple because God doesn't want to live in a dirty house. So just a couple of scriptures yet. Exodus, the 30th chapter. Exodus 30 and verse number 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. I mean, all of these directions that were given to those in the Old Testament, they did it, but they didn't realize why they were doing it. Between that door and this altar, there's got to be some cleansing that goes on. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto them, so they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. So what God is saying is, you know, we need to make ourselves right before we bring an offering to him. There are sometimes I've come in here, I've gotten to the door, and all of a sudden you feel the presence of God. And then there are other times that I can go through a whole song service and not feel the presence of God. Is that my problem or is that God's problem? You know, did I wash? Because I don't want to die. I'm not talking about a natural death, but we're talking about a spiritual death simply because I didn't sanctify myself or get to the place where I confessed. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, folks, we're not saved until we feel our feet leaving the ground. And God's saying, you know, there are a few that have not defiled their garments. And you find that their names are going to be written down. But we also see that our names can be blotted out. Now, if you'll go to the 19th chapter, verse number 7. 1st song service in heaven, and it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It's not a matter of did God do it, it's a matter of did we sanctify ourselves? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. So we put our garments on here before we get there. And I want to keep the garments white, unspotted, undefiled. And that's a process. But when I read this letter today, I thought, someone told that little girl that she was hard to love. And it rips my heart out. And I don't want the preaching of God's word to somehow reflect that there's condemnation on you. Conviction? Yes. Conviction's your friend. But God doesn't condemn us. He waits with open arms to, come on, come on. I want to fix your problems. But I want you to be cleansed from all of the filth of this world. Don't make provisions for the flesh. And I'll receive you. And I'll open the windows of heaven. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We're at a point where we're facing a brand new year. And I want the best for each and every one of you, the best for this church. But that doesn't happen by accident. I said to Sister Kaufman Monday night as they were getting ready to go, I said, you know, they were so overwhelmed by our church. They don't have this kind of response in every church that they go to. But I said, you know what? They wanted to know, what are you doing? And I said, it's not what we can produce. It's who we are that allows the Spirit of God to produce. You see, we have to be the people that God wants to be with. Amen. Before the Spirit of God moves in here. Well, that's not that necessary. Well, is there a move of God? If there's a move of God, it's because God wants to be with us. Amen. You see. Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed because of wickedness, immorality. It was destroyed because there weren't 10 righteous people in that city. So what if this congregation was all righteous, or we were literally on the same page? We all got to that place where, God, if there's anything in my life, search me, God, because I want to be right with you. I don't know if this church could contain it. See, he's not looking for part-time Christians. He's looking for a full-time commitment, you see. Because when we're part-time, we get so frustrated because we know that God is capable of doing it, but then he doesn't do it in our lives because he's waiting for us to get to that place where he can do it. He can't violate his word, you see. Amen. Do you still love me even though I... Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Ladies are going to get together Tuesday, and the men will get together the following Tuesday for foot washing. Some of you may have never participated in it. Before, I don't know about ladies, but before the men get here, they have SOS pads and belt sanders, and They're getting their feet ready. The feet are as clean as you could possibly get before they get here. Amen. If you were going to go into open heart surgery, would you want the doctor to wash his hands? Scrub up? I think so. Amen. And when you want God to do something for you, folks, we ought to scrub up. We ought to get to that place where we're sanctified. Amen. And then we have confidence that God's going to do something for us. Amen. Amen. Love you all. The altar's open.